How do you build a high-performance team? That's the question that all leaders grapple with. The challenge in today's environment is that you're told to pull this off on a shoestring budget and that you have to exceed previous year's production. It's an impossible task. Here's how this show helps. Every week, we're going to feature executive and senior leaders from HR, IT, and sales, and they're going to share their best practices and playbooks so you can empower your managers to build great teams. We are Engaging Leadership, and now, here's the show. Thanks for joining us today. This is your friendly neighborhood talent strategy nerd, Dr. Jim. And today we're going to tackle leadership readiness. And specifically what we're looking at is how do you get people ready to lead? Joining us today, we have Katya, who is the Chief People Officer of 1Password. Katya, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here, Dr. Jim.
Glad to have you hanging out with us. And I think the first order of business before we start talking about the topic is sharing with the audience some more detail about the work that you're doing, your role, and what 1Password does.
Let's just start with 1Password. We are an identity security company. We have been around for 18 plus years, Canadian founded. We basically started as a password manager, and up until 2018, we're very consumer focused. In 2018, we shifted into a B2B product as well. Got our first series of funding in 19, next series of funding couple of years later, and a third round Series C funding in end of 2021. And we are really in the mode of scaling hyper growth. We basically take care of protecting people's identities and making sure that people are safe from hacking and cybersecurity attacks. I take care of the people function at 1Password. I am the chief people officer. I've been there for about 2.5 years now. And my mandate when I came in was to help scale the company. And I really take care of anything people related.
One of the things that I'm wondering when you talk about the trajectory of the organization. So when an organization goes from 0 to 500, there are different rules in place that help you get from 0 to 500. And then when you look at growing from 500 to over 1,000 and more, your mindset and some of your practices need to change. So what are some of the things that you put into place that helped facilitate that growth while still maintaining the core culture of the organization?
Actually, I'd like to talk about the culture and the values of the organization, because you're exactly right. When we were like less than 500, that showed up in very, very verbal ways. Nothing documented, nothing intentional or codified, as I would call it. One of the first things was really, there's a lot of programs and tooling that needed to be put in place to scale. But one of the really important things from a cultural perspective was actually what we expect of people, what we value at 1Password from this 18-year history and making it live. And as you scale rapidly and you bring people in, you can quickly dilute that. And we went around, we did focus groups, we had diverse, really diverse people in the focus groups in terms of backgrounds, in terms of tenure and so forth. And we basically built out three very simple things. Put people first, keep it simple, and lead with honesty are our behaviors. We also, from a leadership perspective, codified what we expected from a behavior standpoint from our leaders. And we use that throughout a number of our programs that we have from a performance perspective, but also when we're onboarding people, we're very intentional about what we expect.
So I'd imagine if you went 15 years without anything or very little being codified, and then you make this pivot, even with feedback that we're going to write stuff down and put standard operating procedures in place, you encountered some resistance. So what were some of the things that you did to overcome that resistance? Because the DNA of the organization sounds like it was run fast and break things and not have anything written down. So that's a pretty drastic switch.
It's hard to run fast and break things in cybersecurity because you want to iterate and continually push, but you want to make sure that your customers have a solid product because they put their trust in us. But perfect example was codifying what the culture and the values look like. Our first cut, we took it back to the founders. The founders are really the keepers of the culture. And about, I'd say 45 minutes into that deck, we would call it, as to what we were proposing, I just took a look around, remote environment on Zoom, watched the body language. They were lost. We were using all sorts of fancy words, business words, all sorts of jargon, as I would call it. And I was like, okay, team, let's take a break. Let's take a step back. We're going to come back to you. We're just going to regroup here. And the next iteration we came back to was, like language that resonated with the 1Password culture.
I'm chuckling to myself because when you just said 45 slide deck, the immediate thought bubble that came to me was death by PowerPoint. So I'm not surprised when you looked around the Zoom room that there were a lot of people that were just lost.
Yep. And that was a great lesson is, okay, you come into businesses in your career and I always say to people, don't just take what you have taken in the past and just implement it. You have to come in and you have to look around and you have to continuously adapt. And so, yes, absolutely. Needed to adapt to what was expected here.
And just between you and me, a 45 slide PowerPoint presentation is probably about the seventh circle of hell for me. Let's get into the core discussion. 1Password is an organization that grew to 500. Now it's over 1,200. One of the things to facilitate that growth has to involve building a leadership pipeline and also making sure that leaders, once they assume the role, are ready to lead. What's your best practice for other listeners out there when you're looking at building that leadership pipeline and getting leadership readiness embedded in the organization? What are some of the things that should be best practices that other organizations put into place?
I think before you do anything, you have to actually ask the individuals, why do you want to be a leader? Like, what do you expect out of being a leader? And what happens a lot of times is you build these tracks, these career tracks, and people just assume that I need to move from IC to leader to build my career. Not true. This is a myth. You can have a perfectly great career as an individual contributor. You can go all the way up to being a very strong principal in a tech company that you're building the tech stack, and we count on that. And basically, I think that before you do any design and so forth, people coming into that leadership responsibility, why do you want to be a leader? What drives you? Why do you think you would be good at it? And have that baseline before you start just assuming that everyone wants to be leaders. Some people operate better in an IC space, and some people just inherently they want to lead. So you should ask that question.
So that's a really powerful question. And there's a couple of implications from that. I've always been on the revenue side. And whenever I'm having these conversations with people that report into me that say, hey, I want to become a manager, I ask that question. But I also ask, what's your comfort level when it comes to having no control over your results? Your results are driven by the people underneath you and what they're able to deliver. Are you going to be okay with that? Because you're not in control. And that often triggers a switch in some people who decide, hey, that's not the path that I want to go because I'm not comfortable not being in control of my own results. I want to piggyback on something that you just mentioned. And that's the idea that career trajectory as a ladder is a myth. I often talk about, you should think about your career as a lattice, not a ladder. So I'd like some more detail into how you built that across the organization and made it real so people realize that there's more than just a vertical path for them.
Yeah, and it's rife in a scaling company. It gives you a great sandbox to operate in because you can build it really from scratch. And your lattice to me is like a puzzle. I see people's careers as pieces of a puzzle, and you might actually do a lateral or move to another department to gain more experience or more muscle building as you develop up in years of experience. And we basically built out through our different functional areas, career pathing, and you can have streams of being just as placed competency-wise and so forth in an IC role versus a leader role and so forth. And actually most of our departments have those paths built into them. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you go up laterally, you can shift over. The beauty about scaling an organization, and I always refer to our customer experience department, is this is actually a great feeder pool for talent in the security space because we have people who come into 1Password who love the security space. They might not have the technical software development experience, but they understand how to offer technical assistance to customers and so forth, and they can evolve into technology. So you have this whole ecosystem of opportunities, and as a company scales, now we're at 1,200, aiming to be at 1,500 at the end of the year, it just provides more opportunity for people. The whole idea of just hierarchy is all changing.
When you describe that, I understand that in theory, but what I anticipate happening is that in a lot of organizations, you might have leaders who have a handful of people that are super talented and they're unwilling to give that talent to another leader in a different function because they don't want to lose that talent. So if you encountered that, how did you get around that sort of thinking for the betterment of the overall organization?
Yeah, that's something that has followed. I mean, it follows HR professionals throughout their career. So the way I have gotten around it very clearly in any of my previous roles has been to say that as a leadership team, executive level, and so forth, we own the top talent. So you say, Dr. Jim, you are the chief engineering officer. You don't own all your talent. We as an executive own talent, and we calibrate the talent. We assess, we watch the collaboration and so forth, so we can ensure that we're not holding people back and not hoarding people. And that's a leadership responsibility from the CEO and the C-level team.
I like the concept of the executive team owning the talent. What are some of the things that you've done to build alignment at lower levels of the organization to take a broader view of that talent on their team so they understand what talent priorities look like for the betterment of the overall organization?
So we've started to really look at what we require from a level perspective and what competencies and when someone's fully functioning, when they're in developing mode, when they're in, I would call it, outstanding mode. And we're starting to bring that down into, I'd say, director and manager level. And you typically would find this in a very well-established organization. That's been one and done. Like, that's a common thing. But in a scaling organization, you're actually very focused the first days of just getting your talent in. Okay, big part of our talent is in. Our product strategy is set. We're building product. We're selling to the market. Now we have that talent pool, and we have to identify and make sure that everyone is functioning at the right level and the expectations. And as you scale a business, those expectations change. And so you have to be able to support the individuals to ensure that they're developing. And at the same time, that we're most likely having to buy a bit more talent on the outside for some technical capabilities that we're missing. So you really have to start really when you're scaling at the top, and then you bring it down level by level to inculcate it down in the organization.
I like your point about connecting the dots. Great conversation so far, Katya. If people want to continue the conversation, this is a teaser, so we're not getting super deep into the discussion. What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Simply reach out to me on LinkedIn.
Thanks for hanging out with us. For those of you who have been listening to this conversation, we appreciate you hanging out. When I think about the short conversation that we had, the thing that impacted me most about this conversation is the question that you asked. Why do you want to lead? And that is a critical question that should be asked at all levels of the organization, because you want people in positions of influence for the right reasons. So uncovering what those right reasons are and aligning that across your organization is going to do you a world of good, whether you're a startup organization or a scale-up organization. So when you're looking at building a leadership pipeline, when you're looking at building a talent pool that has leadership capability, you need to reframe and understand what's the motivator that's driving this person to seek out that leadership position. And that's going to inform you on what is the right role for that person. So thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate you tuning in. For those of you who have heard this episode and want to hear more, make sure you're joining the HR Impact community. You can find that at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. And tune in next time, where we'll have another great leader joining with us and sharing their game-changing insights that help them build a high-performing team. Thanks for listening to this episode of Engaging Leadership. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find our community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time, where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.